And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rexro, Jake Lyman in for Robbie Stanley. Robbie and the family enjoying Disney, I believe, this week.
I saw that.
Enjoying some Disney, so young Allison is going to enjoy that. Ian Safar producing. How are we doing today, fellas? How are we feeling? We got some Tennessee Titans practice this week. Are we excited about this?
Very excited. You know, I love the opportunity to fill in for Jared when he takes his summer vacations, but he takes them when there's not much to talk about. So I'm glad we will have actual football being at least practiced this week.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, now we're going to talk about what might practice look like
in right.
the presser, and then what practice did look like. We will get some practices to watch. Ian, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Ready to see some cleats on the field, as they say, huh?
Yeah,
get
touch
the sweat
grass.
Out there. Yeah, touch grass.
Touch grass, everybody.
And hear
touch
some
grass.
Yelling and some sweating and some cursing and all the fun stuff. Bodily fluids everywhere.
Oh, yes. There you go. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hit us up on the game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. So we are going to get into Titans. We have Corey Curtis, as we always do, at 8 a.m. We also have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up at 7. A lot of Titans talk, a little bit of college football talk. I did want a couple things. First of all, Jake, play-by-play announcer for Vanderbilt women's basketball. So I do have a couple questions for you. But also, as much of a golf hater as I am, I mean, we probably should give a nod to Scottie Scheffler.
Tally ho!
There you go, for his dominant performance. First of all, like, you know, there's all these milestones he's hit, right? Before 30. I'm watching him right now. I'm like, that dude's like older than me, isn't he? Scottie Scheffler?
He does not look 29 years old.
I mean, good for him. He is 29 and he's dominant. But pretty amazing. 1,197 days distance between majors number 1 and 4. Right, which is the exact same distance Tiger had. Okay, the fourth player to win I'm calling it the British Open. The Open, it's the British Open. British Open, U.S. Open, and Masters before 30. The other three were Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player. Here's a stat that I think is amazing, but it's also amazing if you want to compare him to Tigers. Everybody's trying to do that right now, right? So he's won 10 straight tournaments in which he's led he had a 54-hole lead. 10 straight with a 54-hole lead. I mean, so you're just dominating the tournament. And obviously, if you're dominating a major, that says something. Tiger had 36 straight at one point. 36 wow. straight tournaments in which he had a 54-hole lead. So, you know, some of the but you look at everything, and, I mean, it's the most – I guess, I don't know, you tell me, it's the most, like, inevitable feeling golfer, I think, since Tiger Woods.
Yeah, and I wasn't following golf. I was a little young when Tiger was as dominant as he was. I remember a little bit towards the end before he had the first fall off, but I didn't even really, like, I like golf, I like watching the majors, but yesterday, my first thought when I woke up was not I need to turn on the final round, because it kind of already felt over. Like, it felt like Scotty was going to run away with it, and he did. He won by 4 strokes. So it's cool to watch him have this much dominance. It doesn't feel like it's getting as much attention as Tiger, because I think Tiger was...
He was just a force.
He had a little more showmanship to him, and, you know, Scotty's gone out there and basically said, like, golf's great, but it's not the most important thing to me. And it's like, all right, well, it's the most important thing to a lot of these guys on tour, and you're going out there and smoking them every time in these
you're
majors.
Crushing
so,
them. Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, to have 4 majors before he turns 29 or before he turns 30. I was telling you before we came on that I saw something that if he wants to pass Rory McIlroy in general and in all time, which would probably make him a top 10 golfer of all time. All he has to do is win 2 more majors, and one of them has to be whichever one. He hasn't won a U.S. Open or a PGA.
Yeah, I think he hasn't won a PGA championship.
Okay,
right?
So he has to win one of those to get the career Grand Slam, win one more over the next 10 years, and then just win twice a year. and that would basically make him a top 10 golfer of all time before he turns 40, which is crazy, but it just shows you how dominant he's been over the past 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, I guess going in, you know, there was it's not like everyone just expected him to do what he did, but it quickly became apparent that he was going to do that. So, I mean, I think it's good for golf to have someone like this. You know, what you need is you need sort of a to me, like, and this is what you didn't have really. You, I guess, with Mickelson a little bit in there, but like a, you know, like I remember Watson. I'm old enough to remember like Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus. You know, like a rivalry is a great thing to have too for the sport if you can have it. I mean, right now, obviously Rory's still great. You know, I mean, there are a lot of great golfers, but does anyone emerge, you know, to be a consistent foil for Scottie Scheffler? You know, how much would that matter?
That's a good point. And you do need that rivalry. You know, you mentioned Tiger and Phil, and I think for a while there it looked like it might be Brooks and Bryson.
Yeah.
But then Liv obviously gets in there and they both go away from the PGA Tour. But they had that rivalry going, and Brooks was always so dominant in the majors. That's kind of gone away since he went to Liv. And you've had guys who have looked like they were going to be, quote-unquote, the next Tiger for years. Like Jordan Spieth was supposed to be that guy, too. Scotty's the only guy who's been able to sustain that beyond a couple of years. So we'll see if somebody pops in there. You know, there's a lot of young talent on tour right now. Like Colin Morikawa got off to a great start. He won two majors in his first couple of years and has kind of slipped back to earth. Xander Schauffele won two last year. So,
yeah,
we'll see who ends
he's someone to watch.
Who's going to be the guy chasing Scottie Scheffler?
If there is one.
Right. Yeah. Or is it just going to be Scottie continuing to run away with most of these tournaments for the next few years?
Or it's just everyone. Yeah. Chasing Scottie Scheffler. So good for him. Speaking of Tiger comparisons, I mean, we're both Tigers fans. Great win for the Tigers last night. I hope you all watched Sunday Night Baseball. Tarek Skubal got screwed out of a win.
But, yes, he did.
But they won.
They got the win and snapped the longest losing streak of the season at 6 games. And if you miss Tarek Skubal, maybe he won't be pitching. Tigers are on Sunday Night Baseball 2 weeks from now, again, too.
Again, yeah. Get a little bit of national love, our Tigers.
They got the best record in baseball.
Are they back to the best record with that one win after six straight losses?
Yes, that was what was funny last night is the Tigers tweeted out first to 60 wins in baseball. It's like, well, they just lost six straight. They've had almost 2 weeks to try and
get to
60
wins. You've been sitting
there
on the doorstep. Yeah. But, yeah, we're excited. We are excited about that.
I'm going to Detroit for the first time in a couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So
I
finally did it. I was like, they're the best team in baseball. I've never seen a game in Comerica, so I'm finally going to see my favorite team in their home park.
Okay. Who they play? What?
The Angels.
Okay.
It's the August 9th is the game I'm going to. So.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out with moving in sons to college, an hour and 15 minutes away, going to see a game, but it's logistics, you know. But
right.
I'm hoping to make that happen. All right, Vanderbilt women's basketball. Camille Pierre is out, which to me, we now know she's going to NC State, which to me, it's just too bad. Again, without knowing what's going on there exactly, it doesn't matter. She's at NC State now. But, I mean, I've looked at this team. We talked about it, I think, last time you were on the co-hosted for Robbie. I mean, I think I thought it was a team that, like, could be a sneaky, you know, deep run kind of team. So, what's the difference now in your mind without her, you know, and what do they do up front?
I think you need to find scoring outside of Mikayla Blakes because your second and third highest scorers are now no longer with
both
the team.
Gone.
Ayanna Moore transferred to Notre Dame, and now Camille Pierre's at NC State. So you have to find a secondary scoring option. There are options out there. They brought in two transfers, both with SEC experience in Jackalangum Wenintunda from Texas and Aaliyah Del Rosario from LSU. That's going to make the front court a lot better. Sasha Washington also back. She missed all of last season with a medical issue.
Yeah.
So
she's
back.
A good player.
She was a 10 to 12 point scorer in the SEC, which that could be where some of that you recover some of those points lost from Ayana and Camille. And then I haven't seen the freshmen yet. I have not been over there to see the freshmen, but I know they're excited about this group they brought in. Monique Williams was actually with the team in the spring. She's from Australia, so she's been able to practice with the team for the last 6-7 months. And then Aubrey Galvin from Chicago is a point guard. I'm wondering if she's going to play a big role this year. I know they're excited about her. And then Ava Black from Massachusetts is the other freshman. She's kind of a wing, was injured in high school, but I'm not sure how quickly she'll make an impact. But I think there are options out there. You just need somebody to step up that maybe you're not 100% expecting to be a double-digit scorer. You're probably going to need that with the absence of Camille Pierre.
Yeah, and again, it's just like, I know this is what college sports is now, but it's, you know, when you think about Moore and Pierre with Blake's, and that continuity and what that can, when you can build, when a team can get old together and what that can become, it's just too bad that, you know, you are, there are at least options. You've got some possibilities, but yeah, just that's to me is just a bummer, you know, for what could have been. But hey, who knows? I mean, you know, there are other good players. They certainly, I mean, with Michaela Blake's leading the way, You've got a chance, right?
Right.
I
mean, that's what you hope is that Michaela, as long as she's there, you can find pieces around her that will be good enough to, as long as she's playing her best basketball, you're going to have a chance. The one player that I'm interested to see that could maybe make the loss of Camille a little bit less is Justine Passat. She was a former McDonald's All-American, started at Tennessee. Her first year at Vandy, she was a starter, and she's a sharpshooter. She's 6'4". Last year, she took a little bit of a step back. But if they can get her to be a consistent player defensively. Rebound.
Because her shot is lethal.
Right. Yeah. She can be a 40% shooter from outside, which if she's that, that's a huge step for Vandy. If you can add that either as a starter or maybe as like your sixth player off the bench.
Joy from Bellevue says, Robbie's on vacation. You guys are talking about golf. He'd be so proud. I know. I had to sneak in the golf at the very beginning. He also says to go try Buddy's Pizza, so there, I will second that for sure.
We are staying like a block away from the stadium, which I guess there's a Buddy's Pizza right there. So that's already in the itinerary.
There it is. Boom. All right, we come back. Something that came out, of course, after our show, which most things do on Friday with the SEC, I wanted to touch on. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Ian playing some RHCP since I wore my RHCP shirt today.
T-shirt today, so I was like, right. We'll just start with that.
You know, I appreciate that. Great song, great album. Saw them at Nissan Stadium a couple of years ago. That was like a going away for my oldest going to college. But they played like nothing from this album, which was disappointing. Yet it was still a great show. So you know, I can't complain. Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, Jake?
I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay. I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I know some songs.
Okay, that's good. That's the thing. I mean, they've to their credit, they've continued to
been around forever.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I do think they peaked with that album, which was Blood Sugar Sex Magik 1991. But they kept, I mean, they've continued to, and like Flea is like 58 and he's like flopping around the stage doing like back handsprings and stuff. So pretty awesome. All right, so the SEC predicted order of finish. I just wanted to get in this because it's like one of those things that we'll forget about. Because it happens, you know, it's like a Friday news dump happens, and it happened, of course, after our show. We haven't been able to address it. So, your thoughts on that poll? Does anything jump out to you? Texas is picked to win it, right?
Yes, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, top three.
You've got so Texas with an overwhelming, 96 points. To Georgia's 44, then Alabama and LSU. Those four got a good chunk of, you know, votes, I think, for first place. Then you get down to Vanderbilt. Okay, so first of all, Vanderbilt did get two votes. Tennessee got one. Vanderbilt got more votes than Tennessee. Now, the predicted order of finish You've got Tennessee 9th and Vanderbilt 13th. Anything, first of all, is that respect? Is that disrespect for either of them?
I think you just look at it with the polling, you see the tiers that kind of sort themselves out. Like, you can see the points where LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Texas are just head and shoulders above the next tier. And then you've got kind of the playoff hopefuls of South Carolina, Florida, Ole Miss. I think Tennessee's probably in the right spot. I think if Miko hadn't left, they're probably right around Ole Miss, like 7-8, somewhere in there. Yeah. So maybe they dropped a spot or two with the quarterback issues.
I mean, they could even be, if they had Nico, I could see them being right in there with South Carolina.
Yeah, Florida.
In Florida range.
Yeah, know. I agree with that. And honestly, Nico would be kind of just more established than DJ Lagway. Maybe not quite as, you know, headliney, but you know.
Yeah, the Lagway, it's just like anything. Before Nico played, it was like, oh, watch out. Let's talk about right. The Heisman. Before Lagway, and he played last year, but before he takes over, it's like this, what could he be? And then sometimes reality just doesn't match up to expectations.
Right. In Florida, they've got the toughest schedule in the country this year. So
again,
I like DJ Lagway, but you do wonder if Florida is maybe a little bit more bark than bite right now. For Vandy, I think 13th is a little bit low, but I think they're in the right tier. I would maybe put them above Auburn and Missouri.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
But that's probably probably one tier. Auburn, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Kentucky, Mississippi State. I mean, I know some people would say, well, Mississippi State should be in its own.
Yeah, maybe Kentucky
tier.
And Mississippi State are in their own
tier.
Last
tier.
But so, like Vandy, I think you could make the argument that you should put them above Auburn. Like, Jackson Arnold was not good at Oklahoma last year. And, you know, I know this isn't head-to-head, like it's all polling, but you look at Vandy and Auburn, Diego Pavia has taken Hugh Freeze 3 times now in his career.
That
so,
is true.
And they come to Nashville this year. Missouri is interesting. I don't know a ton about Missouri. I just know that they lost a lot of what made them the college football
playoff. They lost a lot of star power.
Right.
Yeah, they lost a lot of star power from last year. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, again, like the Vanderbilt thing, every year there's someone – I think every year there's like somebody who votes Vanderbilt first, right? It's like a joke.
I think 4 straight years they've had at least one first-place vote.
But like this – and again, I don't think that they should have a first-place vote, but they have 2 this year. So does that mean one's serious and one is just like the same person who does it every year? I don't know.
Or maybe he's recruiting more people to join him.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, Vanderbilt having 2 first-place votes, I don't know why Oklahoma would have 3. I don't know why Florida would have 2. And Tennessee, Auburn, they have a vote. I mean, it's, you know, like if you're really being serious here, I mean, to me, there's 5 teams that I would consider for a first-place vote. It's the 4 that got most of them, Texas, Georgia, Bama, LSU. And then, to me, it would be South Carolina, just because Lenora Sellers it could be that guy who – and they're like, they have some tremendous players. You know, obviously, they've got some great players on defense, too. They got Dylan Stewart coming back and all that stuff. But, like, I feel like any other – first place vote is somewhat unserious.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you look at Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Those are the 4 teams that are legitimate SEC championship, national championship contenders. And then if you wanted to pick a dark horse, it's probably South Carolina. Just because South Carolina, the way they finished the year last year, and you do have the quarterback who everybody's talking about. I mean, Lenore Sellers, first team all SEC in the preseason. So I wouldn't hate a vote for South Carolina, and they got 5 first-place votes, which it's not a crazy amount. But outside of that, it really is those 4.
I mean, basically, you expect some homer from, like, you know, like SEC media is homerific, okay? There's some serious homer. So, like, you know, it's like the guy who's covered Oklahoma for 48 years who votes for Oklahoma. Like, you
right.
expect a little bit of that. But it's spread quite a bit, spread around there with first-place votes. On the you mentioned the player voting, Lenora Sellers. Vanderbilt does have Eli Stowers as a first-team tight end. And I'm trying to see if Pavia got any love. Did he get 13?
He did not.
So I will give SEC writers credit for Arch Manning being a third team vote. Nussmeier, LSU. I mean, I think that's what it should be. I think Sellers and Nussmeier should be one of those two as the first team quarterback. And then, yeah, I mean, I guess it's Arch should be the guy, right? Arch should be the except I think Pavia. I mean, I would give it to Pavia. I would give it to Pavia because of his performance. I understand, like, we're not doing like NFL prospect voting, right? We're doing like
this is
player.
What they expect is going to happen this year.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, like, some people would be like, "Are you kidding me? That you don't think Arch Manning should be in the top three in the SEC?" But I think I'd give it to Pavia.
I agree. If you're going off of previous accomplishments, I would probably say Pavia should be up there. I mean, people don't give Pavia enough credit for what he did last year. I mean, he only turned the ball over four or five times the entire season, and down the stretch he was not healthy.
No.
He said as much on Monday last week. So I like Pavia, but I also understand if the practice is to ask these writers what they think is going to happen. Like, who do you think are going to be the top three quarterbacks in the league this year? I understand why Arch Manning got that vote.
Other Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Jamal McCoy is a first-team corner. And on the third-team defense, you've got Arian Carter from Tennessee. You got Boo Carter for Tennessee. Vanderbilt, it's Stowers. I think that's it.
I think that is it.
And I must say, like, talk about dominance. Specialists, okay, the first-team specialists in the SEC. Punter, Brett Thorson, Georgia. Place kicker, Peyton Woodring, Georgia. Long snapper, Bogarder, Georgia. Kickoff specialist.
Yeah.
Peyton Woodring, Georgia. And then what the heck?
Return
is
specialist.
All-purpose is, yeah, okay. So how do they have, so return specialist and all-purpose are two different things. They're both Zachariah Branch from Georgia.
What is the difference?
Brain, what was it? Good God, Zachariah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what is the difference between
return specialist and all-purpose?
That's not the same thing?
Because, like, all-purpose, does that really need to be included when you're voting on offense and defense?
If it's a special teams vote, then it should just be return specialist.
Well, and if you're doing all-purpose, then I would ask the question, why is Martell Hite not on any of these three teams? Because he is the definition of all-purpose heading into this year. He is going to do all three phases.
That's a fair point. So I guess they leave that open for something like
that, but
then they just give it to
They gave it to Zachariah Branch.
Or Zachariah. We'll check on that. When we come back, we're going to get into the Tennessee Titans. It is that week. It's finally time to start getting into camp. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hit us up on The Game. Phone or text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Ty asks, are you going to the Coldplay concert, Joe? Well, I looked at tickets yesterday and for a pair at one of those sites. Secondary market sites, $383
yeah,
a piece.
They're expensive.
I mean, and now what? Is it even more enhanced because people want to see if someone will have a viral moment? Like, every single, like, baseball stadium in the country has had, like, a play on the viral moment. Yeah. I mean, it really is. Let me just say, man, like, I was talking to some friends this weekend. It's like, do anything else there. Like, just continue to cuddle. No one will ever know. I mean, and maybe someone in the stadium sees it and, like, you know, it gets back to your wife. But like, do anything else there. Pretend, whatever. Do anything but what you did, which is act like you were, like, being bombed. And you know, and you don't have this. I mean,
got to play it cool.
My
kind of.
That's what me and D-May said last week was there were so many bad decisions that led to that moment. But the last one was just act normal.
Right.
Like, yes, there could be a neighbor in the stands who sees you, but is that worse than the entire world seeing you and you being on replay on social media for the next week?
I mean, this thing is like, I mean, everybody has a take on it, or like I sent Ian and Robbie the Edward Munch scream, but it's like with those two holes.
Oh, the memes are everywhere.
I mean, I sent I sent Feinbaum a beautiful picture of Lane Kiffin cuddling him. Have you guys seen the Feinbaum Lane Kiffin one?
I have not.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
Here you go. I mean, look at that. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Here you go, camera. That look at Lane and Paul. I mean, isn't that sweet? Like Paul with the... Look at those. Paul. You can tell Paul's been in the gym with those arms. Yeah, so everybody is clowning this whole thing. Actually, is it Coach 30? You know what I'm talking about? Is it Brendan Clinton? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, you guys have got to know this guy. All right, I'm going to make sure that I may have missed. It's the guy who, during football season, he like when Bama beat Tennessee, it's like he's like the coach who's like yelling at the guys for screwing up.
Oh, I
it's
might
one
have
guy,
seen it. Yeah,
and he plays different characters.
Gotcha.
And he's like Jalen Hyatt, or, you know, how the hell he's like yelling at Alabama DBs.
Okay,
for Jalen Hyatt.
I think I know who you're talking about, yeah.
I want to make sure that I have that right, because everybody should follow this guy. Yes, it's Brendan Clinton, Brenden, and it's at Mr. Go 30, at MRGO 30. Follow him, first of all, because he's hilarious. But this, I think, was his best work, which was – again, coaching this guy after the fact and like breaking down the film of all the things he did wrong. It's pretty amazing. So anyway, does that make Coldplay tickets more expensive?
Probably.
Less expensive? Are there some adulterers out there who aren't going to go now? Does that help the market a little bit? I don't know.
But last minute date cancel.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Like, oh, we got to pull the plug on this.
We definitely can't go now.
Or, you know, I got to get a fake mustache, but we'll still go. I don't know. But I'm not going. I'm going to monitor the tickets tomorrow. I'd like to go. My daughter really wants to go. But it's like, I can't justify. That's just insane.
Right. Almost $400 get-in price is just, it's not worth it.
I mean, we had a friend who went to the show. I guess they were in Madison. They live in Chicago. They went to the show, and they said it was great. And it's a show that also, apparently, it's big and immersive enough that you can sit in the nosebleeds, and it's still really good. But I mean that price is just, I still have no idea how it got there. Matthew from Jolton is just absolutely just telling me how Michigan's gonna be the secret. I know you're a Michigan fan, Matthew. Matthew, who contributes here?
Yes. Our friend in the afternoon.
Who has been a contributor and telling me how awesome Michigan is for years on the text line. I mean, look, Michigan could be okay, man. But he did say Florida, too. Two teams that could make a run, Florida and Michigan. So there you go. Take that for what it's worth. So the Titans, they start tomorrow with some talking, which will be do we have a nickname for the Killer Bees? Borgonzi, Brinker?
And Brian.
Borgonzi, Brinker, and Brian. Yeah,
there we
triple
go.
B.
A better idea.
We are going to hear about some good ideas tomorrow from Mike Borgonzi. Then the next day, you've got Brian Callahan talking. I think that's before practice, right? Because sometimes they'll have like
they usually have the opening presser before the first day of on-field stuff. Kind of like a welcome to town, first day back to school thing tomorrow. I don't know if there's any
on-field
stuff.
But that's not Callahan tomorrow, though.
No?
No. So
okay.
Tomorrow is Borgonzi and Brinker.
Okay.
And so I think Callahan the next day talks and it's practice.
I guess that makes sense.
I believe right. I believe that's right. All right. So other than Cam Ward, who will dominate the conversation, what are the things that you're most interested in? And as you brought up, Jake, in our 7-hour pre-show meeting, Noah Fant, he has been released by Seattle. They saved about $9 million on the cap hit, releasing him. He's not been tremendous. He is not your typical Iowa tight end who comes in with a lot of celebration and then dominates the league. But he's still pretty freaking good. Should the Titans be in on Noah Fant?
I wouldn't hate if they signed Noah Fant. I think it probably depends how they feel about Gunnar Helm. Like, if you think Gunnar Helm is going to step up and be your tight end one by the middle of the season, then maybe you don't need to bring in Noah Fant, who's going to take reps away from him. But if you're not feeling like Gunnar Helm is ready to step in and immediately be that, you know, safety blanket across the middle of the field for Cam Ward, then I think Noah Fant is a better option than like Chigakonkwo right now. So I wouldn't hate it. I think in terms of what I'm looking for in training camp outside of Cam Ward, Because, like you said, Cam Ward, he's going to get all the headlines. The microscope's going to be on Cam Ward every time he goes out on the field. I'm looking at the young receivers. I think that's where a lot of people's eyes are going to go, is can Elik Iyemanner and Chim Dike show that they are immediate contributors to this team? Because they kind of have to be, right? You've really only got Calvin Ridley, an older, aging Tyler Lockett, and Van Jefferson is your veteran. So you need some of these young guys to be contributors this year. And then Xavier Restrepo, is he going to make the team? I think that battle between Restrepo and Oliver at the very bottom of that wide receiver room to try and sneak into the 53, that wide receiver competition is probably where my eyes will go outside of the number one overall pick.
Yeah. Now, some would argue with you, and I might argue with you, that it's not between Restrepo and Oliver, that Oliver's in. Oliver's
really?
In,
you
yeah,
think because, Oliver's
because
like
of special
a lock.
Teams.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, we were talking about it last week, and this was one of TD's takes, was that Jefferson is the guy who he would – and, yeah, that, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what he is right now. I mean, that's going to be an interesting question at camp. But yeah, I think Restrepo is definitely one of those guys who is going to get a lot of, he's got already got a lot of attention, maybe more attention than he should have gotten at this point, frankly.
Probably.
But you know, I also, if you watch him play in college football, and you know, the whole Cam Ward relationship thing probably gets a little overrated, but I think he's a good player.
I mean, he was an All-American last year. Like that does count for something, is that he was very productive last year, but I agree. He probably is getting more attention than he should. He's out there running routes against Tyreek Hill and Chad Ochocinco in his offseason time, which most undrafted rookies I don't think end up doing. But I will be interested to see if he's going to be able to make the roster. I didn't think about Van Jefferson possibly being the odd man out, but if you think that Oliver and Restrepo have more of a long-term benefit and a higher ceiling, then I wouldn't hate getting rid of Van Jefferson.
Yeah, again, it's like if it is true that Oliver ends up being essential, a core guy on special teams. And look, I mean, he is a guy who can make some plays. I think at receiver has definitely showed some promise there. Jefferson is it's one of those, and maybe it's because they've just had so many guys. You know, I remember Robert Woods came in and it was like, oh man, that's going to be a big deal, and it wasn't at all. They just had so many receivers who have come in, and just for whatever reason, it's like actually they have less in the tank than you thought they did when they signed up to come to the Titans. So maybe that's a little bit of bias because of that, but I feel like that's where the rub is right there.
Well, and Van Jefferson, like I don't think anyone's expecting a whole lot from him. Like I would expect that he probably, if he does make the team, doesn't have more than like 300-350 yards this season, but that is a room without a whole lot of veteran leadership. Like you got you got Ridley and Lockett and then a bunch of guys in their first or second year in the league. So if you wanted to keep some of that veteran leadership in the room, Jefferson's the guy. But I also understand the idea of, you know what Van Jefferson is. You don't know what a Xavier Restrepo or a Bryce Oliver could become.
Yeah, and I do think Lockett is I think he will be a guy who
right
will play a lot and will bring that leadership for sure. All right, when we come back, I'm looking for some Titans hot takes. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5 The Game, and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman in for Robbie Stanley. The Stanleys enjoying Disney. I hope that, my goodness, I hope it's not 115 degrees down there.
I mean,
but it might be.
It might, yeah. Probably not much better than here. So either way, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's a small world. You get a little break. You know, you get in little teacups.
Nice. Yeah, a little shade, a little water. Yeah, little,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go meet the princesses. You know, all that stuff. You arrange those. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You arrange the meetings. You know, for certain times, it's all a big deal there at Disney. All right, we're talking about the Titans, so I'm looking for – it doesn't have to – you know, it could be a roster hot take. That's fine. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. It could be anything. Before I get to that, though, Adam Vinginen tells us that this is the Gonzi scheme. I've heard that on their show. It's pretty good. The Gonzi scheme,
I like it,
is the name for the brain trust. The problem with the Gonzi scheme is that, like, there's Chad Brinker's not in the name.
Yeah, Adam says he's part of the scheme, but I don't know. It doesn't feel all-encompassing.
Yeah, this does not seem like a collaboration, Adam, so that's my only problem with it. But I do like it. I like the Borgonzi to make it into the Gonzi scheme. I definitely like that. It doesn't sound very, appealing or optimistic for the Titans, if you're calling it
not.
Are we still calling it the Gonzi scheme? If they maybe we are. They go to the Super Bowl. The Gonzi scheme worked. This was a good Gonzi scheme. But it kind of feels like everybody's getting are you saying, Adam, that everybody's getting screwed over here?
Yes, everybody's getting fooled? Scammed.
The wool. I think some Titans fans probably feel that way, actually, at this point. So we'll see. But Mike Borgonzi did just start, so got to give the guy a little bit of time. All right, give me your hot take, Jake Lyman, on the Tennessee Titans. Roster, camp, stadium.
I'll go 53-man roster. I think this is a pretty hot take. I'm going to go to the tight end room. I'm going to say Josh Wiley doesn't make the 53.
You and Robbie both hate Josh Wiley. My goodness.
I just – you got Chig. Helm's going to make the roster, and I think they really like David Martin Robinson. And I think they really like Thomas Odokoya, too. It's like Wiley, at this point, he doesn't do a ton on special teams. And if you have guys who are going to play on offense ahead of him, I don't really know if there is much reason to keep him.
Okay. I mean, look, Robbie said he specifically said Thomas Odokoya on Friday with the same idea. So it's like, okay, well. And now Odokoya... That's the thing. I always get – it's like they have the exception because of the international player thing, but
– does that ever run out, or can they just keep on doing it year after year?
I think there's a limitation to it. It's obviously multi-year, but look, he also at some point could be a guy that they – you know, that the who ends up ahead of – so. And like you said, Martin Robinson, a year ago, I was pretty –
he was the camp darling last year.
He was one of the camp – if not the, he was one of them for sure. So, okay. I mean, I think he'll make the team, but if you guys get this, I'm going to be awfully impressed. Ian, have you given us a hot take? I need one from you.
No, I haven't given one yet. As far as roster goes, it's tricky because the roster stinks. And so it's kind of hard to find maybe somebody, you know, who could be like a veteran who might not make it given the situation, you know. I don't think they'll make a move, but I do wonder about Imani Hooker just because he makes a lot of money and the safety position. I know they find him key, but I don't know. Something smells a little bit fishy about
you're cutting Imani Hooker now? A hot take.
I don't think I'm cutting him, but something smells a little bit weird there to me for some reason. And then, of course, Treylon Burks.
It happens fast. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, Treylon Burks, he's not going to make the team, right?
Unless he just completely lights up training camp.
I mean, I think
preseason.
The hot take would be that he makes the
right.
Team.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's the hot take.
So at this point, you know, that's pretty much expected. And as far as like roster and position groups, you know, they don't really have a lot of depth in places that might, you know, need to cut somebody. And
yeah,
you know,
I
so
guess
it's hard.
Fine. It's hard to find heat in such a
on the roster. It's hard to find one,
right?
You know.
Like inside
heat in the desert.
Inside linebacker is probably the position with the most competition, but anybody could go from starting to off the team. Like
Cody,
it's all spread out.
You expect Cody Barton to start.
Right. Barton's your top guy, and then like 2 through 6 are all kind of jumbled together.
You have no clue, really, who's gonna stand out there.
Yeah, I think we determined that was the weakest position group last week, so which is saying something.
I mean, take your pick between all those guys, right?
From Gray, Williams,
I don't know,
Otis
maybe
Reese, Chance Campbell.
Maybe they run into a kicker situation.
Joey Sly?
Yeah.
Don't come after my Hokie like
You know, I'm struggling for a hot take. Unless we find a good hot take, maybe we could go opposite and find a positive hot take.
No one said you had to be negative. I mean, you know. But now, I do have some hot takes on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com. including Cam. This is not roster, but Cam San Ridley leading the AFC South receiver yards and Pro Bowler. That is smoking hot. Ethan from Lawrenceburg has Draymond Jones getting 10 sacks. That's pretty hot.
It seems high.
But, I mean, that's the thing. They're going to need some stuff like that to happen for them to be a lot more competitive than we think they're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, if Draymond Jones gets 10 sacks, the defense might actually be half decent.
Yeah.
I could see him getting 10 sacks, the defense still not being decent, but that would be a pretty stunning
I mean, I do
they would certainly take it.
Positive-wise, I do think there's some potential inside for Simmons and Sweat this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
As far as, you know, I don't know, maybe I could see a big jump from Sweat this season.
They need it badly.
We did hot takes on Friday, and D-Mace's was 15 sacks combined between Simmons and Sweat.
Okay. See, I like that. Yeah. For some reason, I think they could be kind of good this year, and I think that's kind of what they're planning on, I would think, given the lack of move at edge. But maybe there's just not a lot of options.
Good point.
But yeah. I think they were kind of planning or hoping that those guys are going to be able to pick up some of the slack.
Yeah. Well, they need that. They need that pairing to make it easier on other people.
I think
make other people better because they are such a problem. So 15 sacks would be
good.
I mean, to me, they can be impactful.
That might be their best position group.
Yeah,
interior defensive line. When you combine Sweat, Simmons, Sebastian Joseph Day, Coburn, they got some depth and they got some guys who have done it before.
Yeah, it's not exactly a high bar, but I think that is probably their best position group.
Yeah, I think it's that. I think I had that. Or corners, you know, again, if
Snead is legit, right, you can throw corner in there.
Is Snead actually going to, if you're, I mean, you have to assume, I guess, health and availability and not suspension and not a suspension, then the Titans then take advantage of getting rid of him and saving themselves money. If that's the case, corner could be good.
Do we know where Lorenzo Carter is going to play mostly as far as position goes? Is he going to be an outside edge guy? Is he more of an inside guy? I don't really know.
I think he's outside, but he had a donut of sacks last year with the Falcons. So
could he be like a, you know, cut candidate even though they brought him in?
I think
you sign him to a 1-year deal, free agency, but he's no guarantee he's going to make the team, right?
Like him or Jalen Harrell are probably battling for the last couple spots in the pass rush group.
Yep, I would agree. And yeah, no, I don't think, I mean, Lorenzo Carter at 29 years old seems like it's going the wrong way on him. So that, you know, to me, it's like, and Harrell got a little bit, Matthew Mjolton, Michigan guy. Do we need to get excited?
Harrell was, I mean, he was kind of training camp darling.
He was kind of a training camp darling, and it's like, okay, but to me, I'd rather keep going down that road if there is something there.
Right, you know, then Lorenzo Carter, who,
yeah,
if he is going to get better, it's not going to last for very long.
Exactly. All right, we come back. We will be talking some Titans and maybe a few other things with Gentry Esses from the Tennessean. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.